Welcome to episode 52, 1 year of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. We've been going nonstop for a year. So
be 1 year? This is the end of it? How does that work?
We've been doing this for a year.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is the end of the year, and the start of a new year will be next week.
Yes, I suppose. Okay. All right. Today is September the 23rd, 2012. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my year older brother, James Furlough.
Feels good to be older.
Yeah. So, welcome everybody. Thanks for hanging around for a year. It's pretty exciting. We're excited about this. This is a very special show in that we're going to talk about what we talk about every week. Technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations dealing back and forth. The people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course, the technology they're developing. We would have done some cool giveaway where you tweet us and you share us with our friends, but we would require some sort of a marketing budget to do something like that, and since we don't, we're not. But before we get into the heart of the show, James does have a short disclosure that he has to throw out there in order to keep this legal.
YouTube changed the way that they order videos, so it was like impossible to find this feed, but I did find it. So
nice.
Feel free to make a comment, and I'll pretend to pay attention to you instead of Matthew. And on that note, I will, you know, admit that I actually heard what he said and disclose that I also work for the Hewlett-Packard Company based in Palo Alto, California. During this podcast, I do not represent any of their opinions, thoughts, or really goals. And
you can't put too much space between them and yourself. Otherwise, that could be just as damning, I think, you know?
Just trying to be transparent, you know? Just full disclosure. So throughout the podcast, when I'm talking about HP, if we do, I'll be just saying I instead of we. And if I say we, I meant to say I.
All right, fair enough. Cool. And if you want to follow us throughout the week, throughout the year, throughout the months, whatever time frame, you can follow me personally. This is my real name, personal information, at Matthew D. Furlough via the Twitter. James
is at James Furlough.
Yeah,
just like my name is spelled on the lower third right there.
Oh man, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you're like way off. There you go.
There we go.
Lower third, right there. And then you can also go to the main website. This is all of our tech-related information. That's, you know, podcasts, articles we talked about, all sorts of cool stuff to check out. FurloughBros.com, that's the name of that one. But you can also go follow our at FurloughBros Twitter account, or FurloughBros via Facebook or Google+, or all over
that?
The place.
Do you hear that?
No. Do I hear what? I don't hear anything.
Exactly. Oh, it's because it's really quiet.
Okay, so you set an alarm during the Do Not Disturb function on your new iOS 6 device, and by new device I mean operating system, and it actually shuts the alarms off?
I think so, but I'm going to do one more test because I actually have my volume like super low, and I think that was affecting it, so we'll just go for like 2 minutes later. Anyways. Keep going. This will be a real test now that I turn my volume up. Man, I'm glad I did that tonight instead of tomorrow morning.
Yeah, see, this is my question. So this actually, like, gets right into it. It's like, during the show, I'm always conflicted because if I want to turn the volume off on my iPod Touch to use my alarm so that it doesn't disturb the show. But if I do that and I forget, which I always forget, I don't wake up for work on time Monday morning, which has happened at least 4 times over the course of the last year, which is not a good thing. So I don't turn it off. But if I was actually thinking about not upgrading to iOS 6 for at least a couple months, but if this Do Not Disturb function has that, they've sold me. I'll upgrade. I'll do it.
Okay, so like I said,
It's an important test.
I turned the volume way down because I may have had an accident in church today. Because I so here's what I do. It's risky, I know, but I take notes in church and I take it on my phone. And I also have a Bible app. And so when they're reading, I'll do the Bible app to follow along with the reading. And then when I'm taking notes, I switch back and forth, which is a double tap, right? In order to do that. I also turn it off if, they're telling a story and I don't want to take notes on the story. Sometimes, and this happened today, instead of a double tap, it was more of a long tap. Oh, there you go. So that's with the Do Not Disturb on.
Well, I'm going to have to download that.
I hit the
Crazy.
snooze. I didn't mean to do that. We'll just turn that off. How about that? So there you go. Answers given. So with the Do Not Disturb, alarm still works as long as you have your volume at a proper level, which I think alarms always like that. So there you go. So anyway, so I turned it way down because it's kind of weird when you're in the middle of a service and you get the beep beep. And you're like, oh, hi Siri, I didn't want to talk to you. I'm taking notes. That's what I'm doing. Okay, it's legit. No, really, I am.
That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. So I turned the
That
volume
is
down.
rough.
Because if you turn the
So
volume down, you don't hear the beep. So.
I do want to get into iOS 6 a little more a little later, but until then, we had some new ads for the iPhone. Pretty exciting. Did you see those?
I think I did. There were like four of them, right, where they showed off a feature of the phone and, right?
Yeah, I have it labeled as the iPhone 5 ad gets dumber or gets dumb and dumber.
Really? I didn't. Okay. Why do you think they were bad?
I didn't say they were bad. I said they were dumb and dumber, which is because Jeff
Okay.
Daniels is
Oh, that's
the
right.
voice of
Ah.
the see, there's a connection there.
There we
Actually,
go.
I don't
I
know.
was like,
I
you're
was
such a Google fanboy. I
you
knew
say
it. But okay, I get it. All right, you're off
I
the
was
hook.
mediocrely impressed. They were way better than the Samsung Galaxy S, which I think I also linked for today. I don't know, have you seen the games? The they're calling it. They're not calling it the Galaxy S anymore. They're calling it the GS3, which I don't know why that
GS3.
sounds so contrived, but it really. I was just like, really, guys, really? Have you seen that one?
I heard about a couple of them. Is that the one where they're making fun of guys standing in line? I mean
Yeah.
they always come out with these, which I saw I heard about those and was reading about those, and then someone posted a picture that was, people standing in line, and I don't think it was for the iPhone 5, but for a previous one. And then it was and then they wrote words on the picture, right? And it was, "Hey
Yeah.
Samsung, copy this."
That's pretty awesome.
It's like,
You know, it's funny.
love it.
Somebody made the comment, then, and I thought this was really accurate, which was Samsung somehow managed to outsmug Apple. It's pretty funny.
Nice.
It just was like, it's so ridiculous. Well, and the worst part about it was just so over the top in the quote Apple fanboy mentality. I mean, it was clearly not designed for people who it wasn't designed to try to convert people who like iPhones. It was designed to consolidate their base, because the reality of it is this is the hardest time for Samsung, right? This is where they're going to lose the most number of customers. So they really have to the people that are kind of waning, they like their Galaxy or they like their Samsung or they have an upgrade in another month or two. They have to remind them that, oh, you don't want to be one of those. You want to be one of us.
Which, I mean,
But
being one of those, it's hard for me to look at it objectively. But I'm totally like, I don't. That's fun. I don't know. I don't
I don't
know.
know. I thought it
Of
was
course, if
a
I were
was
Apple, I would totally for, the stores where it's going to be big. I would do like it was at the Disneyland half marathon, where you're like, dude, let's entertain them. Let's blow a couple $1,000 because we're going to make, 50 times that or more in 24 hours. And you go, let's get bands out there. Let's have some sort of entertainment. Let's literally turn this into a party, not just people standing in line anymore. Let's get food vendors out there. You know what I mean? And you just turn it to where it's a party now. And I think they could have so much fun with that so easily. And
Well,
I think they'd still have problems with supply, but there's that.
I've always given the example of it's, I'm a big fan of the Matrix movies, and I waited in line for the second one. And it was like the first time I'd ever done that. And I waited in line like 12 hours, which a lot of people are like, why in the world would you do that? Especially, it wasn't even opening night. It was like the Saturday after or whatever. And I was really glad because I got there at like 8 in the morning, and the next person in line came at like 8:30.
Oh.
So I did get the front spot, and I ended up having, but I had this plan that I thought was like super clever, yet it's so stupid. But it's like you can't just save people's spots. So what we wanted is we wanted to be able to give the excuse of, oh, they were in line, they're just going and getting something. So I was like, bring food, bring snacks, bring music, act like you were act if anybody gives you any guff, act like, oh, I was just going to get this, which, number one, nobody's going to give you any guff. I was like a junior in high school, so I didn't know better. But what I accidentally created was I accidentally created this huge party because like people would show up with like soda and snacks, and like as the night went on and like we got closer to dinner, people brought like 10 hamburgers, or like they'd just bring tons of food, and there was music. I don't know, it turned into this huge party. And so, and that was all culminated in this movie that I had been anticipating for, I think I counted down like 100 days to the release of the movie. I was into it, you know. But it's like it was basically just this big party with like 30 or 40 of my friends. That's right, I held up one spot for 40 of my friends, and the person who got there a half an hour later had to get in behind the other 40.
Yeah, I'm sure
They
you
were
told that person, oh yeah, by the way, you're not actually second in line.
Well, I actually told them. I told them probably around 10 o'clock. I divulged, you know, the truth, and they were like, "Don't worry about it. We actually saw it opening night. We don't mind. We're still gonna get in. Like, we're gonna get great seats." So I was like,
Yeah.
"Okay, cool." I felt better, but it was still it was ridiculous. I don't know. It was, but like you said, my point in all of this is that there's fun there. That's fun. You
Yeah.
know, I call people like I call those people the people that you make friends with in line. They're line buddies. And as a type A personality, they're really my type of person where you're like, you're there, you're talking, you learn a bunch about them, you learn their name, and then by tomorrow, you don't even know who that person is. But it's like, but you became best friends with them because you had this like shared camaraderie. And
Yeah.
that happens over the dumbest of things. Usually all that, I mean, usually all it requires to have that kind of camaraderie is to stand in line with somebody or to stand in a crowd with somebody for a shared thing that you're kind of excited about. And then it just kind of builds in its anticipation and its joy, you know? Now it's like doesn't even matter if the iPhone is good or not. What's cool is hanging out with all these other tech-oriented people and being part of that crowd and having fun with them.
Yeah, that
You
was
know,
what,
and
let's see, Wozniak was in Australia and he waited in line and they're like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "That's what you do. This is the fun."
Right. Well, yeah, he Woz always waits in line, and now Woz, it's a little bit different because Woz shows up if because the first time Woz doesn't show up and he's not on his deathbed, the Apple stock is gonna fall
Wow.
$50 that day, you know, because they're gonna be like, oh, Woz here doesn't like the iPhone. You know, he's now set a precedence, and his wealth is directly tied to him. That's like the one day a year he has to work for Apple.
He likes it. It's not
I
work.
think he likes it, but I'm not so naive as to think that there's no, you know, there's a little bit of cynicism there for me. But you know, even if he wasn't excited about it, he would show up and act excited about it. But you know, I don't know at this, but yeah, I don't know. Samsung's commercial, I understand what they're getting at. But I feel like, you know, I don't know. The only thing I can say for them is they finally broke away from the pack. They finally became the recognizable phone that everybody else talks about. You know, the Google herd has been trying to do that for, you
Yeah,
know, 4 years
I
now. It's
can
been,
totally.
you know, and I think they finally hit whatever threshold it is to have a phone that people recognize, and the galaxies are it, you know. And I think that if nothing else, that commercial really kind of solidifies it, you know, that they're really branding themselves as the Samsung GS3, which I still think is a dumb name. Because you want to know why I think it's a dumb name?
Yeah, I
It's
do.
because it has all the same words as Apple's third generation phone. It's the Apple 3 or the iPhone 3GS, the GS3. To me, I don't know. And maybe it's because like I'm way too into this. I just sit there and I go, you guys really stole Apple's letters? Really, guys? Really? You're going to go with this branding? Okay. I guess, you know what? Just like the iPhone, it's proven to work. Why not take it?
Why not?
I can't believe it. I'm shocked by that. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm, like I said, maybe it's because I'm too into it, is that I notice it and nobody else does, but still. I can't help but laughing. You know, the only, and to bring this all back to where I wanted to begin was, I still think there was a little bit lacking in the iPhone commercials in that it didn't give that sort of, you know, it didn't give the impression that something magical just happened. It didn't give me the, like, you know, which I don't know. I don't know. You know, Apple's not going to do that every time they come around. And they do have to do educational commercials, and these definitely qualify. It's not like they weren't doing these types of commercials. And I think Jeff Daniels does a really good job with his, you know, every single one has a, you know, an off-the-cusp joke. And they may even make a jab at the Samsung or the larger screen iPhones, which I appreciated, you know.
Yeah, they definitely weren't totally 100% serious, you know?
Yes.
Say cheese. You're like, all right, it's cute. I get it.
Yeah, you know, it had that Jeff Daniels flair. It was nice. It was pleasant. But, you know, they were good. I'd give them a solid A-. Not everything I've seen Apple being able to do, but well above the curve.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
Cool. Glad to hear it. So I am also, I'm just to reiterate, you did not wait in line and get
a new phone.
Okay. Just checking.
I did go to the Apple store and play with one, and, you know, they're pretty nice.
What's your first impressions?
They're unbelievably light.
Compared to the GS3.
I'm just going to call it the Samsung 3GS, just to drive people nuts. Because it's close enough. To be totally honest, I have never actually picked up a Galaxy phone, the 3GS.
They're nice. I will admit, I pick it up and I go, I could run this, I could own this, and just probably be just as happy with this phone as an iPhone.
Yeah,
I know there's the concern about the bigger screen, but I'm the kind of guy where I would put up with that, and I'd figure out a way to make it a positive. And
I mean, they're clearly from a specs perspective and from a, I don't know. At this point, and I think we talked about this last week. At this point, they're comparable phones, and it has a lot to do with, you know, where you are and what part of, you know, where you want to be in them. To me, honestly, I think I'd still go with the smaller screen. And I played with the one I actually played with the screen at the iPhone. I have played with the bigger screens. I've played with the iPhone 5 for about 10 minutes. And it's funny. I actually like the 3.5-inch screens. Which is, you know, I sit there and I go, you know, a lot of people, I have quite a few friends. And actually getting to play with the bigger screens, I don't need more real estate. I actually like them small. I like them close combat. You know, if I want something bigger, I guess what my problem is like a 4.5 screen is just enough to tantalize me, but not enough to actually give me any real advantage. It's big enough to be annoying, but small enough to not really be what I want.
Change anything.
I want to say, I want a 10-inch screen at least, or I want a 15-inch screen at least, or I want a 27-inch screen. That's like, that's where I'm at, and pretty much at this point, I just need an iPad to kind of, or, you know, an equivalent, who am I joking? I need an iPad to fill in the gap.
Come on, you know, the Nexus 7, that could work.
Oh, man. You see, Nexus 7, I got a feeling, I've seen them, they're not big enough. They're really not big enough.
You know, I actually, for me, it's like, I look at the Galaxy 3GS, and I like it. And there is a wow factor where you're like, wow, this is a big screen for a phone.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you're like, that's kind of cool. Let's throw on a movie. And, you know, and there is that. And then you immediately go, so how long is our battery going to last on this bad boy? You know, and that's the big concern. though I figure out a way to make it work. But then when you get to the Nexus 7, for whatever reason, your expectations walking into it are different, and you go, ah, the screen's small.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's see, weird.
It's funny. I actually would go looking for, if I were going to go Android, I would go looking for a smaller screen. I like, it's just is where I'm at. It's what I like.
Okay.
And I was reading an
article.
They
exist because they're all about choice.
Well, I was reading an article, and one of the problems you run into is you can't get the super powered, crazy impressive phones at the smaller sizes.
Oh, because they need the extra. Interesting.
Yeah, because they're all off the shelf components. They actually need more space. They need more battery room. They need more board on the logic room on the logic board. Whereas with Apple's system on a chip, you know, super impressive. They make their own dies and whatnot. You know, because they do that, they're able to fit, you know, something that every benchmark so far, it's blown every other Android phone out of the water, by the way. But even...
Is it blown out of the water or just it's better this month?
It's 1.5 to 2 times as good as the next thing on every benchmark. I mean... It wasn't just it got a little better. It's one of those things where that's what Apple does. They're all about optimization, so they can do a lot more with a lot less.
Yeah, and that's 6 months from now, they'll be caught up, and that's the way it works.
Yeah, you know, and that's the point. I mean, that's good. You know, that's what you want to see. But it's very difficult to get a super impressive phone that's anywhere to the same. You know, that's not a brick. That's not as thick as it is small, you know, and have it be a small phone with the same spec. So
I can see that.
I know, it's, you know, which honestly, it's funny. Like, you know, last week we were ranting and raving about why is it so small? I can have it be a little bit bigger. And this week I realize I've completely switched my tunes. I pulled the Steve Jobs. And I'm like, oh, I want it small. Why can't everybody have it be small like Apple? But, you know,
we were talking about thickness and weight.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about that
20% thickness.
Because I would still... Right? So when I first picked it up, because I got to play with a couple friends, you know, the first impression is, wow, this is noticeably lighter. You almost feel like you're picking up a demo unit at IKEA. At first, you're like, this is wrong. There's something missing here. Obviously, it's not. But... I mean, that's like 20 or 18%, whatever it is. That's a noticeable amount. But I'm with you, man. It's like, it would have been okay. Maybe keep it the same weight. So obviously, you know, it would still be a little bit thinner, but you didn't have to go lighter, I guess. You could have added a little bit more, made it a little thicker, and that still would have been okay. But, you know, they obviously, that's one of their goals, right? Thinner and lighter is better. That's a tenet of Steve Jobs, which, P.S., I just finished the book yesterday. So
nice.
My review will be going up, or my blog post or whatever, going up Monday, I think. That's how long it'll take me to write it. But yeah, so anyways, I'm still with you on that. I think it didn't have to be lighter, even though you pick it up and there's that other where you go, whoa. I don't know how it comes. I know when you pick up it's one of the Galaxy phones. I don't remember which one. You also go, ah, this is lighter. I can tell. You know, and that's bigger screen. Wow, it feels lighter. You know, it was that same feeling, I guess, except this one's metal. And you're like, oh, this is wrong.
The interesting question to me about this whole thing, really, and this is sort of a going down the line, I really feel like, you know, unless HTC or Motorola does something in the next year, I think you'll have a two-horse race. You'll definitely have, and you know, of manufacturers. You'll have the iPhones, and you'll have
HP.
The Samsung. Yeah, right. Sure.
Meg Whitman came out and said, I think HP's going to have to do a phone.
Hey.
She said it.
Oh, yeah, by the way,
again,
there was an article.
She didn't add that part.
There was an article, and an HP branded phone showed up in some online benchmark stuff.
There you go.
Codenamed Bender. You know where Bender's from?
It's like Air.
That's a. That's not quite it. That's the last Airbender.
Cooler. Yeah.
Avatar.
Yeah.
Bender is the android from
Oh, that's cute. And the shirt's an HP one
I
from
watched the
Futurama.
show. Yeah, thank you. I'm like six episodes seasons into the show and I can't remember the name of one of the main characters. Or name of the show, I should say. But yeah,
That's cute.
it's named after Bender,
So it's gonna be
the
an so it's
robot.
probably
Yeah.
gonna be an Android phone then. I would that'd be crazy if it
Oh,
wasn't.
yeah, that's what they're saying. It's gonna be Oh, that's why, because
I
it was an
love I
Android
wish
benchmark and it was.
so HP gives internal names to everything. And the rule of thumb is the
Yeah.
primary engineering team gets to name it. Which is kind of cool because you can always tell who the engineering team is because there's definite themes, I guess. And the way that it works within HP is internally within HP, everything gets 90% of the people refer to them as their what we call the lab names.
Yeah.
But when we go out in the real world, because when we made the first calculator, we gave it a number. It was like the HP 17 or however many, it was based on however many buttons there were on the first calculator. And that
Yeah.
just kind of kicked it off. Oh, HP n names their products with numbers. And then they'll, and now it's like you'll have like the
Wow.
inkjet 127 or something like
Yeah.
that.
Have you guys ever noticed how super boring
Yes, and I
that is?
wish that they would flip it to using some of the internal names. I mean, like you get, I'll just use Apple as an example because it's easy. You get OSX, what is it, 10.8 is a
Yeah.
number. Fine, I'm totally okay with that. But they also call it Mountain Lion.
Yeah.
And depending on your situation, you either get the internal name or that name. And I wish that HP would totally do the same thing because we have some awesome internal
I
names.
say, I don't know if you could. Well, you know what? It's funny. You, on one hand, you couldn't name it Bender just because he's such an anti-hero and he is
It'd be
definitely
cool.
the, yeah,
He's a bad
he's
android.
what
I agree with that.
Yeah, but the thing is like I'm sure you'd sell a million of them just on the name alone. There'd just be enough hipster kids out there that love that show that'd be like, you know what? It's a halfway decent phone, and I can make jokes about it running on alcohol, like Bender.
Yeah,
Okay, I'm down. Let's
I
do
don't know.
it.
See, that's the HP's too stodgy. I think the
Yeah.
engineering group clearly awesome. The marketing
Yeah.
corporate not so awesome when it comes to that kind of stuff. They will
Right.
play it safe. Oh, it's got to be HP Blue and blah blah blah. We'll give it a number because that's safe. But I totally wish because we have an entire printer line that like. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like their names are Legolas and Gandalf and I don't know if we have a Frodo or not. But you know what I mean? We've got these. We have just names like that where you're just like, cool, that's awesome. I've obviously part of one of the reasons is we can't use them is because there's obvious
They're
we'd have to pay.
copyrighted.
Yeah. But, if engineers knew, okay, this is someday going to become public, I think that would be fun to,
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we'd also have to have a lot less products in order for that to work. You don't want to have the entire cast of Lord of the Rings on the shelf. That'd be weird. People, what's up with
That
that?
would be kind of weird.
Which at this point we could, just because of, man, especially if we got into that with all the ink types. So, what type of ink are you putting in there? Oh, putting some Darth Vader ink in.
You say, I'm putting some orc number three in it.
Yeah, some orc blood. This is. Yeah. Oh, it must be
Actually, it would be kind
cyan.
of cool.
Yeah, it would be, but I just. Anyways, that was a total side.
Yeah.
I wish that HP named stuff that way. So, yes, someone called it Bender. It will never make it to the sales floor, unfortunately.
Bummer.
I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I
That's
don't think I am.
so. Well, this. I don't know. This seems like a perfect time to bring up other thoughts about. I know how I said I want to talk about iOS later, and here we are talking about iOS. But let's just keep going, I guess.
All right.
So you downloaded iOS 6, correct?
I
For
have,
your
yes.
4S, for your small your little dinky little phone.
Yeah, my fat clunker.
Yeah, exactly. Your boring
My, what
phone.
is it? It's a stubby fat clunker. Is that how I gotta call this?
Yes.
I hate you,
How do you
Siri.
like it?
It's fine. I mean, there's always the weird things, like when you update, it's like it always feels like half my settings get changed or taken off, and you're like, come on, just remember it. It's not that hard.
I gotta believe it's actually harder
Maybe
than we
it
want
is. Yeah, probably. It's
to
some crazy XML file somewhere that's got to get saved, and if the app doesn't enable it, it doesn't happen, type of thing, I'm sure.
Right.
No, so there's that. But I mean, we get all like googly-eyed over them, like, oh, it's the new iOS. But in all honesty, there's a handful of changes. You know, like the new emoticons. You're like, okay, cool, I guess. On the alarm,
What'd you
you can now pick
call
a song instead of being stuck with the what are those things? With the ringtones. Of course, I downloaded an app on my computer that lets me make ringtones out of my song, so I kind of already have everything I want. So I'm like, ooh, whoop-de-doo, I already got around that one. There's that. I'm trying to think. We'll ignore the maps one for now. Or maybe I should say we'll come back to that one. The Do Not Disturb, this honestly was my very first time turning it on.
We'll do what Apple did. Ignore the maps for right now.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. What else? So I cannot get the pass thingy. What's that one called? The passbook. I can't get it to connect to the store. So I'm kind of like, well, this is lame.
Oh.
Yeah, I've other people have said they've
You
got it to
know, are
work, and
you
I've watched them make it work. So
You
I'm
know
like,
what?
well.
Well, so the, yeah, there's this like it's actually a it's a known bug, but it's like you have to like go in, turn some setting off, turn something on, open the app, turn the setting back, and then open it up, and it
Oh.
fixes it. I don't know. It was some crazy algorithm that they came up with, but yeah, it's a
Okay.
bug. You'll probably need it fixed soon.
Okay.
Don't
There's
worry.
another one. They added the VIP in email on it, which
Yeah.
shows up as a separate email box. I hate it. Because
Yeah.
I am so on top of my email that I don't need that. And so I'm
Yeah.
like, can I hide it, please? No, sorry. You could just kind of move it down. I'm like, oh, I just want to get rid of it. But I don't have email
That
problems
is
like the rest of the world,
one
so.
thing that I think has become clear that Apple needs to deal with their iOS 7 is the ability of to hide stuff like newsstand. People are starting to get really bent out of shape about the fact that it's like, okay, Apple, I'm glad that you have like your native apps, but how about you let me get rid of a few of them that I never, ever, ever use. Settings. Well, let's clean for let's put let's make let's make the App Store and settings undeletable, but everything else, because with the App Store you can go and download the native apps, and with settings, for whatever reason, you got to keep native, settings around,
Should probably keep the
but
phone
everything
around
else.
too, but yeah.
Well, you know what though? You know what? Let's
Maybe
make it
not.
optional. Let's get
Okay.
crazy. Well, because as soon as you start to ask, well, what's optional and what's not, I guess it's my, I don't think they'll go as far as me. I'm a freedom-loving American, so I want them to give me as much choice as possible.
Well, get
But
an Android, right? I mean, that would be the response.
yeah. Well, and but like what I what I guess. Yeah, and I was gonna say, I don't think they would ever give you the ability to like delete the phone, but there are definitely some apps where people clearly want to be able to get rid of them. And it's like Newsstand, its biggest problem is that it is actually a folder with a different icon, so you can't just hide it in some other folder.
Yeah.
Most of them, you can hide in other folders, you can get them to go away,
Which I
but you
do.
can't do that with Newsstand. It drives people nuts.
Yeah, I have
Which
a folder with an Apple logo that I just put Apple apps in there that I don't want or care about.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So there's the like tap to tweet, tap to post to Twitter and Facebook on your thing. I don't, whatever. I have it. I'll probably never use it, honestly, because I don't know. We'll see. What were some other ones that I cared about? Oh, on Messages and FaceTime, This one actually is cool, and because I also downloaded the latest OS X onto my computer, I can now I have linked my phone number and my emails to iMessage and to FaceTime, and so when I do like an iMessage or a FaceTime over my computer, now it will actually show up as my phone number as well. And if I had an iPad, I could do the same thing for that. I was like, that's kind of cool, because I switched everything over to my email because I was like, well, I want it to be on cross devices, so that's what I'm going to do. And people would be like, whoa, that's weird. It's not your phone number anymore. I'm like, well, yeah, because I want to be cool. Now I can be cool while maintaining my phone number, which is kind of neat. I you know it's just it was what is it? They call it like 200 things, and quite honestly, some of them should only count for half of a change. They changed the app store and the way that that looks, and they also changed like the GUI of the iPod player thing. It's different. The iPod one, I'm like, okay, fine. We went from gray to black, whatever. I don't care. The app store, I mean, that way they actually significantly overhauled that one, and I'm still debating whether or not I like it or not. Because
Interesting.
they well because what they did, like one of the things in the details, they have it where it's your picture up at top, you know, that you can kind of swipe through, and then the description. I always read the description and then I want to see the pictures, and so I find myself scrolling down, reading the description, then scrolling back up, and I'm like, eh. But maybe I'll train myself because I want to know like what am I looking at. But that's me. But I think I'm in the minority there. I think most people
I was going to
literally just
say,
look at the picture.
I definitely see a wall of text about the description and go, yeah, let me just see the
Yeah, which is fine. Now
I don't have time for this.
I do like in the updates now, the way that it's work. A, if it's free, you don't have to type in your password anymore. That's
Yeah, which
awesome.
is
And
nice.
then B, there's the what's new, and I always tapped on the apps to read the what's new part of it, and now I just, you know, do a tap and it expands it. So I was like, okay, that's cool. You save me some time, and you know,
I can't believe you
I
read all
appreciate that.
that.
I like to know.
I have never once read updates. I've just like
Well, how do you
come
know
in
what's
like,
new?
oh
You
my.
just you'll be surprised when you turn it on. Whoa, check this out.
I just kind of assume I know this is like the lowest common denominator of like keeping track of your device and stuff, but yeah, I just kind of I just hit. Well, you know what my thing is? I usually like end up with like 12 updates and I just update all. I don't stay. That's my problem. I don't stay on top of my updates. And I just wait until like I know I'm not going to be. It gets kind of out of hand. It's ridiculous, and I know I'm not. I'm about to go to bed or something, and I'll just start the update and we'll see what happens in the morning. And every once in a while, I check all of my games to see if there are any new levels. And surprise, surprise, there's new levels. Sweet.
You're like, yes, my life is
Yeah.
awesome. Let's see here. I'm sure there's some other ones that are important, but I can't remember right now, so they must not be.
Well, let's get into the controversy of the week,
All right, let's do it.
the Antenna Gate of 2012.
Yeah, really.
Have you used the Maps app?
Multiple times, on multiple occasions. I even wrote a blog post about it, giving some feedback. I was like, hey, I thought I'd pile on Apple. Why not? And then my very next blog post was one talking about their Facebook integration, which I thought was very smartly and very well done. And then, which I guess is the other thing I didn't talk about. And then I guess I'm going to write another one about the book review. So I kind of had an Apple trend going on. All that to say, yes, I have used it on multiple trips, actually. And I guess the so if you've been paying attention at all to the webs, like you said, it's kind of Antennagate in the regards that, according to the blogosphere, Apple's done. You know, they've literally driven off a cliff via their Maps app.
This is literally like the second death of. It's like they've dug up Steve Jobs and are just beating him, just beating the dead body of Steve Jobs by releasing this Maps app.
It's
If you go by the
unbelievable.
blogosphere,
Well, it's, you know, what is it? This wouldn't have happened under Steve Jobs. I mean, that's the big one, is Apple's peaked, they're
whatever.
done.
You
'Cause
guys
you know,
try to
he wasn't alive
honestly
when they started
ping.
this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, ping.
I believe that for a second. Yeah, ping, iCloud. Apple is Steve Jobs was oversaw quite a few terrible products. Like, you cannot tell me that Steve Jobs, oh jeez. But
Yeah, I mean,
man,
it's
so
classic.
but so this is my question. This is the real nuts and bolts of it. Is it as bad as everybody's saying?
So here's what I've done. I have
Okay.
driven to I've driven to a restaurant. I have driven to his friend's house. I have driven to church. I've driven to my house on, each of those. I feel like there was another one. Oh, I drove to my school in another city. So I mean, and that's I've done a lot of driving. And on each of those trips, I used the map app both to get there and to get back. For the restaurant, I was like, "Take me to Red Robin." For the school, take me to Willamette University. For home, take me home. And that's what I've said. I've said, "Give me directions." Blah blah blah. I've searched for stuff, and I've used Siri on each of them, and which is kind of fun. And in every single instance, it found a location. In every single instance, it either agreed with what I thought would be the fastest route or actually picked up a faster one. And I was like, well, what the heck? I'll try it out. And it was genuinely faster. I was like, okay, cool. I figured out a new way how to get here. That has been my experience. Obviously, what other people have said, oh, it doesn't have this location or it's in a totally wrong spot or something. I have not experienced that, and I must live in a very boring town then that doesn't change much. Because it must be easy to get
Well,
around.
okay.
And now I'm
So
comparing
obviously,
this
I haven't gotten a
to
chance to play
I'm
with it.
comparing this to the old Google Maps app, which didn't have the turn by turn it or the spoken navigation, I should say. But obviously, it was powered by Google Maps and their search, which is pretty amazing. And I'm comparing it to Waze, which does do the, we'll call it the turn-by-turn navigation. And that's the community source one that's free, which when they first started, it
Yeah.
was horrible. Which was kind of funny. I took one trip up to the airport, and I was on I-5.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like on it for like 100 miles, or that sounds like a lot, like 50 miles. And it
Yeah.
literally. On every single exit, get off and then get back on. I was like, what? No, I'm just gonna go. And that got annoying. I was just like, why? And my only guess is that, people were getting off on those exits. So it was kind of like, well, that's what you do. You get off on exits. It doesn't do that anymore, which
Right.
I am very thankful about. And so I have just, and I have also noticed that the way that Waze works. Is it's just a straight up calculation. What's the fastest possible way to get here? I don't care if you're gonna turn 50 times, I'm gonna take you this route. Whereas Google Maps seem to be a little bit smarter about it.
Yeah.
If the difference is less than 30 seconds, we're gonna keep you on the freeway. That kind of stuff. And I don't, obviously they've got some sort of
Right.
super algorithm that I can't even begin to imagine that, it seems to be like they're literally within minutes, and there's always seems to be a simpler way of getting there. Whereas Waze, sometimes I'll follow Waze, be like, all right, let's go. And I'm like going through neighborhoods, and you're like, this is weird. So, anyways, did I lose you, bud? Or are you just turning it off? There he goes. He's dialing back in, or he signed out, and we'll dial back in. So, for those of you who care, PlayStation 3 has, they're getting ready to launch a redesigned console, which is pretty awesome, actually. They've made it, they managed to make it thinner and I'm guessing lighter, not that that matters too much. It's going to be in black, which is cool, and it'll be available September 25th. So in like 2 days, and it'll be bundled with the game of the year, which in this particular case is Uncharted 3, and you'll get actually that's for $269, and then you'll get a $30 voucher of free content on the free-to-play shooter Dust 514.
That is
So
so cool. I'm so excited about that.
pretty, yeah, are you?
I have no idea what you're talking
That's cool.
about.
I'm talking about the PlayStation 3 and how it's got a little
Nice.
plastic surgery to it. And it's going to
Cool.
be getting thinner. thinner, better, lighter. It's a 50% size reduction over the original PS3 and a 25% versus the slim model.
So this is the slimmer model. The original was gymungous, so that one's a good one to keep smaller.
Yeah, so it's coming out in 2 days. Pretty cool.
So where were we before I totally bounced out? We were talking about the
Google Maps. Yeah, and I was trying to say. I was trying to say that it's worked on everything that I have tested it on, which I would admit is not extensive, and I don't live in a super heavily dense populated place. But I haven't had any problems.
Right.
And
I believe it.
I don't know.
Well, so one of the fun things about mapping applications is there's no best algorithm for it, right? Because it's like one of the problems with Waze is that you know you can have bad algorithms. There's no way to actually determine the shortest route outside of calculating every possible route and then just picking the shortest one.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know, and anything you do to limit the number of, like, let's say you limit it to only options in America, that's still only an approximation to the best route, because you can't, because without actually there's no good algorithm to say that there's no black hole just outside of America that will bring you back in time and actually get you there faster.
Okay.
It's one of those weird ones where there are certain approximations you can do that will make it much better, but in the end, like, you have to come up with a number of assumptions to limit it down and then check all of the best routes. And Waze obviously at first did a terrible job at that.
Yes.
Nowadays does much better. And Apple, the thing with Apple is that it's like most of their back end power stuff is done by TomTom. It's not even done by Apple. Most of what Apple does is just the front end, which is the exact same stuff they did when they had Google Maps. The only difference is, you know, it was Google Maps powered back then. And, you know, the map apps, as far as I know from a technology perspective, in large degree, they took a couple of different services like Yelp, TomTom, their open map.
I think
stuff.
They're getting traffic data from Waze as well.
Yeah, and you're putting it all together into their own app, and it has some weird results. Number one, this is what I'm going to say. I predict that for 90% of the people, it works 99% of the time. And with the times that it doesn't work, it's only a really small portion of the time. I have a feeling that people started to realize that for 10% of the people, it was easy to find a glaring error 15% of the time. And so for a certain set of population, and they happen to be tech bloggers, they realized they could look for flaws and they could start blogging about it. But this is going to be my point, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people have missed, is I don't think it actually matters whether Apple's map app is any good or not. I don't actually think Apple cares in the least. I don't think they have any interest in getting into the maps game, because it cost Nokia $8 billion to get into the maps game in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And really have an adequate maps program in and of themselves. That's chump change to Apple. If they wanted to, they could. They could afford it. They've got the smarts. They've got the talent. They could. They don't want to. And so it comes to the question, well, why would you get rid of Google Maps? So there's a number of reasons, and these are they're just two reasons, really. Number one, Google is going to start charging for the Maps APIs. I think they've already have. And, well, they didn't for Apple because they were up for contract. It was a five-year contract that everybody is guessing at. And at the end of the five-year, the new negotiating terms, it was going to be they were going to charge Apple. Apple didn't want to pay that fee per query. And that's standard Apple fare now. And Apple said, look, you guys can do this on your own. You can do it on your own websites, but we ain't going to pay for it. Now they don't have to. But the more important thing is the fact that Apple Maps couldn't have turn-by-turn navigation. And maybe that was something that Google was willing to negotiate that with a price. You know, if we open up negotiations on turn-by-turn voice-guided navigation, mm-hmm. we'll, you know, that opens up a whole can of worms. But for whatever reason, or maybe they were just saying, no, we don't want to do that. But for whatever reason, Apple couldn't get a native turn-by-turn app on it, and that was a major, I think they felt like that was a significant selling point for Google phones. The fact that you didn't have to buy a GPS unit, you didn't have to buy a GPS app. And it works great. It works with Google Maps. And
Yeah.
because of that, I feel like, Apple has their list of, we think these are the things that people are really interested in, and these are the things that people aren't. They obviously don't think that people are interested in near field communication or wireless charging, whether I agree with them or not.
Dude, I got a
Or,
quote from Phil Schiller about that, by the way.
I know, I read, I you can throw that at me, but I read it, and I think he's wrong. But,
Okay.
I he's a smart dude. He's a really smart dude. So I don't say that,
By the way, the quote was, "As for wireless charging, the wireless charging systems still have to be plugged into the wall, so it's not clear how much convenience they add."
You see, but the thing
Boom!
is if I have an iPhone and iPad and the people I'm living with have iPods and iPhones, and we got five devices, we can lay them down onto one pad that's plugged into the wall. That's a huge convenience, as opposed to having five
So
cables
how
plugged
does
into
that
each
work?
device.
I don't understand. So, 'cause don't like wouldn't they all charge then at the fifth the rate? How does that work? I'm just not great with electricity.
Yes, it'd be like, well, it's like, so your car, so this is the way to think about it. What you're trying to, like, in your house, you've got a bunch of plugs, right? And they're all on the same, they're all wired together in series, the at the same voltage. If you plug nothing in, there's no current running through it. If you plug one thing in, there's a certain amount of current going through it based on the resistance of the system and how much voltage is there.
I'm with
If
you.
you plug 10 things in, there's way more power, quote unquote, being transferred because there's way more load, and that equals that the difference is made up in a higher amperage.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a very similar in concept to that, where the load, the more devices you put on it, the load increases, and so the actual
So as
amperage
long as the
in the coil.
base unit has a big enough plug or pipe or whatever to
Yeah.
handle more amperage, say like a microwave,
Right.
then it would just be the limiter would be the or the okay, I understand. I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Right. So
So yes,
that's
there's still a limit on how fast it can charge, but that's just more of it could probably do five, okay? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, and the
That
thing
feels like that would
is
be a pretty
and
big pad, but maybe not.
Yeah, well,
And once
it
again, you're
probably would
still
be.
attached to the wall. What do you do about that, man? What do you do
Well,
about that? Take
I
that.
think you integrate the pads. I think you integrate the pads into everything. You put one in a car, you put one in the table at a
On your Mac
Starbucks, you put one
base.
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're wrong. But they also act like they're trying to think bigger, think different, and do something, they're going to jump on the first technology that actually poses a real legitimate solution as quote unquote something that's a clear advantage over plugging it in.
So did you read the rest of it? It looked like they had like a kinetic idea where it actually like when you move the phone it would charge it just a little bit. So like when you were walking or driving it would charge it. That's the
What's
dream,
cool
right?
about that is have you ever seen those like those flashlights where they have like a little weight in them and they
Yeah,
shake them?
totally.
It's the exact same principle. The only difference is
Yep.
that what they can do is they can treat it like an accelerometer, where they can build them into silicon, and hopefully, and they're called SEMs, and they're these that you can build them into chips, and then you can actually build these chips that just generate current based on movement. You can do stuff like that. I don't know. I still think I think they're looking for something. I think they keep looking for something. And I think they just keep passing on. I think they're looking for the final great solution, as opposed to, and I've been arguing this for years, is the real solution is going to be exactly like the computer, where they're, the solution wasn't the processor, the solution wasn't the hard drive, the solution wasn't the RAM, the solution wasn't the motherboard. It was all these components going together, each one being incrementally improved. And I think you have to work on generation systems. You have to work on recharge rates. You have to work on storage stuff. It's not just, there's not going to be a magic bullet or it's unlikely that it will be a magic bullet, and it's even more unlikely that a magic bullet will be the only thing that you can do to make it better.
Yeah, because if I could plug in my phone and have it charge in 30 seconds, I wouldn't complain.
Right. And it's funny, and that's the reason why we talked about it last week about the reason, you know, I wish Apple would have made it kept the same thickness and just added more battery. Well, the reason they don't do that is because if you have twice as much battery, it takes twice as long to charge. And not only do they have, you know, not only do they have limitations on, well, it needs to last X number of hours, but they also have design requirements of it can't take, it has to take X amount of time to charge. And so they have all sorts of requirements like that. But and this totally got me off track here. Somehow I got off of Google Maps.
I'm good
So
at that.
basically, what I was going to say was, the so what they what Goo what Apple really wanted was a turn-by-turn navigation because they wanted to take away that selling point, and they didn't want to pay for Google Maps. Those are the two things that they wanted.
Right.
They iOS apps came out, and that morning, a Google spokesperson responded with, "We believe Google Maps are the most comprehensive, accurate, and easy-to-use maps in the world. Our
I would
goal is
agree.
to make Google Maps available to everyone who wants to use it, regardless of device, browser, or operating system." So basically, we're going to release a Google Maps app as long as Apple's willing to let us put it on the Google Store. And you know what? This is the thing. So Apple wants turn-by-turn navigation in free maps. So what do? They put a little bit of time, a little bit of money into kicking Google off, and they add turn-by-turn navigation. And it works for most people most of the time. They're going to wait 2 or 3 months, and it might even be as long as 6 months. I doubt it, but they're going to wait a little period of time for people to be forced to actually use it and say, "You know, I think all that garbage was overblown." And then they're going to approve Google Maps app. And guess what? It's going to be free to Google, and $10 says it's going to have voice navigation. And the only thing that it won't have, and this is where Google's going to really seriously miss out, the only thing it won't have is Siri integration.
Or the
And,
API
you know, that's
hooks for
what.
other apps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you sit there and you go, and what they're going to do, what they lost was the inside track on all things Apple. But people who think that there's going to be no Google Maps on the iPhone in the next year, that's ridiculous. This is like Google Maps is one of the few things that actually like pays for itself at Google. Most everything is paid through the search algorithm. Google Maps is actually a money maker for them through advertisement, through their charging for their API. Like the whole thing is, and they can't afford to just say, "Well, those 300 million devices that that everybody uses more on the internet than any other device."
Yeah.
Every benchmark shows that they use them more than every other device, including our devices. We're just going to ignore that. Like, that's not a big deal. Like, we don't need them. No, that's not how it's going to work. No, they're going to have a great app. It's going to have all the features. And Apple is going to get exactly what they wanted, to take away that selling point from Samsung. That's all they wanted. That's the entire reason why they put it out there. And if they end up with a first in class, you know, best app out there that everybody map out there that everybody uses, and it costs them like $1 million a year to maintain, all the better. But they don't really care. That's not what they want. And everybody who complains about it, like it's the end of Apple, you guys are dumb. That's give it 3 months, and this whole thing will be resolved, and Apple will be the big winner. Google won't be. Google lost here. They lost this week. They really did, because they're going to have to put out the app that they needed to put out in the first place. Yet they won't have any of the cool integration, fast track stuff that they had all along. You know,
Yeah,
this
and what you're
actually
gonna
hurt them
find is like
for now.
you're gonna hear, like you said, 3 months from now, that Yelp is gonna be like, "We haven't slept in 3 months because it's been nuts, the amount of data and information that we've been getting." And you're gonna watch their listings explode as people, you know, report errors or add stuff. And I don't know. And Google and or Apple came out and was like, "Yeah, it's not perfect. Well, it'll get improved. Don't worry about it."
It's like, yeah, you sit there and you go, it's primarily, with the exception of the TomTom portion, it's almost entirely crowdsourced, and they basically just unleashed a torrent of new crowd information that, you know, they everybody's going to get a 1,000-point jump, you know, in how much activity they got just in the next couple of months. Over the next year. Yeah.
Well, and I was just thinking, like, to cut you off if I may.
Go for it.
You know, is like you were saying, they're going to have a ton more data and it's going to get better. They just need to survive these next 3 months of the bad press. And because, like you said, I think what people go is, yeah, it's not as good as Google Maps, but it works. And for those few times that it doesn't, I just head over to maps.google.com on my phone, find the actual address, copy it, I'm off and running. Because it works with addresses.
Right.
And, you know, and like I said, Yelp is going to be just like going crazy with data, and they're going to love it, which also makes Siri better because that's tied into it. And I think what Apple's going to do is have an October event, and you're not going to read about maps anymore. That's not going to matter. You're going to get distracted by the next shiny tech piece, and then they'll just continually quietly make it better. And, you know, people were talking about Siri where they were like, yeah, Siri is cool. It's limited in functionality. And then they finally, a year later, come back and go, okay, Siri can do more. We're like, all right. In my opinion, it's still kind of limited. There's still just like, there's so much more Siri can do. And they're like, yeah, don't worry. We know. We've got a laundry list, and we're working on it. But
yeah, it's funny. And you read the press. It's like none of the bad stuff that people have been talking about the last year about Siri is true. Everybody's just like, man, Siri's great. Have you checked out this new stuff that Siri can do? Try all these new things Siri can do. Come on, guys. If it's a bad product, don't get distracted by the new shiny wax they put on it. If it's a good product, why do you have to dump on it just because it's the middle of the year? Can't we just be like normal? Can we keep a level head about ourselves?
Oh, that's not fun. I know.
That's not how the media goes.
Yeah. So I like the Maps app, or I should say I don't hate it, I guess. It's a Maps app. It seems very similar. I wrote a blog post where I was like, there's some things that I would change, definitely, to make it better overall. And I'm just like, there's, you know, little things. Like if you wanted to mute the driving directions for some reason, you got to go to in the settings, maps, audio to mess with it. I'm like, that's no. Just let me easily flick that off. That's annoying. When it goes to full screen, they actually get rid of information that I like. Like, I really like the ETA. What am I going to get there? And how much further do I have overall to go?
Yeah.
And it's there, but you got to tap the screen to get it out of full screen in order to see it. I'm like, dude, just give that to me somewhere else on it. I really want to see that. And then a thing that Waze does, which I think is really cool, is you can have, you know, it's following you along, but then you can tap and drag on the screen and, you know, move around the map. Because sometimes you're like, okay, I'm coming up to a tricky place. I know it. I'm at a stop sign right now. I want to just look ahead real quick to see what's, okay, left and right. Then, okay, got it, cool. And then you tap a little radar, and it takes you back to following you. And I'm like, that's awesome. And you can't do that on their app. It's kind of like, oh, this is where you're at. And you're like, you can do an overview, like see the entire thing. I'm like, I don't want that. I literally just want like the next three turns. And I want to see it visually, not just read it on a list. So anyways, I'm like, those are a couple things that I want. And I'm pretty sure that eventually I will get them. But overall, like I said, I must live in a very boring town because Yelp seems to have the places that I like to go to.
Well, I still think that everything I've read from people who have actually like used it over the weekend, everybody's saying it worked fine. I don't know what – I think, you know, it's kind of like when a new textbook comes out. A new textbook has errors. So people who like to find errors dig through it and find all of the errors. And you sit there and you go, it's a 3,000-page book. There are 20 errors. Congrats, you found them.
you know?
And the thing is that, yeah, okay, those errors might have tripped a few people up, but most people aren't even going to read the book. Like, you're really, you know, I think you're really doing the work that doesn't need to be done. The only thing is that Google Maps has no errors. Google Maps is fantastic. True. So it's like, you know, but at the same time,
well, Google, it's not no errors. I had a friend who, his address did not show. Still, I'd be shocked if it's in Google Maps now. It was annoying.
Okay. It's not
It's like
perfect,
a whole development
but
doesn't exist.
well, they haven't driven around it yet. But
Yeah, apparently.
it's one of those things where, it's a great product, it's a great service, and they have thousands of people working on it, and they spend, tons and tons of money on it. And Apple threw like a couple million dollars at this and said, "Hey, let's make it nice." And they've got like 20 people working on it. It's just a totally
Well, and they were
different
like,
thing.
they focused on like flyover, and I was like, we really should have focused on Street View, but that's okay, you know.
Right. Well, you think the thing is that flyover requires a plane. Street View requires 10 cars. Street View is an unbelievably impressive feat on Google's part. I mean,
Yeah.
that is astounding what they've been able to do, and that will always be one of the big selling points of Google Maps, and nobody else can match it because Google did it first and they did it best, and they let other people use their service, and so there's no point for anybody else to spend the money on it because Google won. They won so hard. They won so well that it's just like it puts. If you want a Street View, you go to Google Maps. There literally isn't another service out there that does it. And
Which is
I know that's
cool.
all they want.
It's,
Yeah,
yeah.
give them all the props in the world. It's an impressive feat, but I don't
Listen
know.
to you Android fanboy. Oh man.
It's not an Android fanboy. That's impressed at Google technology.
I'm just whittling you down, that's all.
Whatever. I'm excited to see Windows 8. They're not Windows Mobile 8 or whatever they. I can't figure out the naming scheme
Windows
for the
Phone
Windows
8?
phones. Windows Phone 8. Maybe that's okay. That sounds right.
WP8, WordPress
I
8.
can't. Yeah. I can't wait to actually try it out and see if they've changed up their Internet Explorer.
So I
Because
was
if
talking
Internet
to this guy Wednesday, and he said that he went through like a bunch of phones. I don't know what his problem was, but he said that he owned a Windows Phone 8, and it was actually his favorite, or Windows Phone
Really?
7. And Lumia, and he was like, it was his favorite. He's like, I loved it. It was a great phone, probably the best of all of them. I was like, whoa, that's not the feedback I got.
I don't understand how people can spend 15 minutes with that browser and not be super
You must have just
irritated.
had like a bad browser or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I tend to. Well, okay. This is I ranted and raved about people who look for problems in Google Maps, and I look for problems in Internet Explorer. I know what its weaknesses are, and I know what sites it shows up as a glaring,
Yeah.
unavoidable weakness. And I go there, and I find them
And go,
instantly.
look how
So,
horrible it is. Yeah.
yeah, and where, it probably is the same thing. 90% of the people, it works 99% of the time. And for the few times that it doesn't work, you figure out some other solution. But for me, because I tend to deal with sites and I tend to be fans of sites that are pushing the cutting edge of what browsers can do, it drives me absolutely crazy that they're 2, 3 years behind. And so it would never work for me. And you know what? It's funny. When I gave my big review on it a month or so back, that was my big thing. It's a very nice phone. I personally can't because of how I use the internet, I can't use it. And that's why I say I'm actually excited to try out a Windows Phone 8 operating system to see if they've, because I don't know what their attitude on it is. I can't believe that they still are so, pigheaded that they won't change it, they won't make it better. It's
They're
just get up
not,
to
but there's
web
no
go.
compromises, Matthew. It's fine.
I know. Well, the thing is it's like you don't necessarily have to use WebKit like everybody else does, but at least get something comparable, I'm not asking for a lot here, guys. It's the engine is literally there. It's already done. Just copy it for crying out loud. But if it's any better, it brings the Lumias back on the table, and everything I've heard, they're very nice. They're not from a hardware perspective. An iPhone's still one of the most impressive feats of engineering ever, and or for in the mobile world.
Yeah.
And its integration makes its benchmarks just blow everybody else out of the water.
It kind of
But
reminds me
there's no.
of Back to the Future, the second one, where
Yeah.
the doc from 1985 is like looking at the microchip and he's like, such a little thing. And, in order for him to make it work, he's got to like do the tubes and everything, and it's like on his trunk. Just like, I feel like that's we're going through that progression. We're like, man, these phones were huge, and now look at just like how little tiny we can get them, and it does even more. It's kind of cool. I love that
It
movie
is cool.
series, just for the record.
It is a good movie. It's a very good movie. I haven't watched it in too long.
I went through
What
a
are the
while
things
where
I haven't watched?
I had tried to do a Back to the Future quote every day.
I know, and you were really successful for quite a while.
I was.
You know what movie I okay, this is totally off topic, but you know what movie series I have to rewatch? The Lord of the Rings.
Dude.
I watched the Hobbit trailer, and I was like, I have to watch Lord of the Rings again. I have to start tonight. I have to go till the next day, and it's going to take me like 3 weeks to get through it, but I got to do it because they're
I
freaking awesome.
how do I say this without getting in trouble? I totally agree with you, and have recently taken actions towards that. The worst part is I'm in the middle of the Matrix trilogy with Jesse, so it's kind of like I gotta try to space things out. Of course, I'm also on the middle of the Spider-Man trilogy. So, there's trilogies, man. Oh, it's bad. It's awesome is what it
They're
is.
tough. They're
There's
awesome.
some really good ones. It's weird in like my iTunes thing, 'cause it's just like, especially like Harry Potter. Boom, here's eight movies taking up a row and a half. You're like, "Oh gosh." And then you get all these trilogies where it's like boom 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 boom, and you're just like, "All right." It's a lot.
Daunting.
My iTunes library looks awesome, by the way. It's just full of awesome movies. So, that's cool.
Nice.
Anyways, I agree with you. We should watch it together, like over a Google Plus Hangout or something.
Let's do it.
That's so dumb. But anyways.
Yeah, I agree. I said, yeah, let's do it, and I was thinking, that's never going to happen. So
Wasn't there you could
why
do
am
that
I
with the
agreeing to
Kinect where
this?
you could watch a movie, like you could watch Netflix with people over
I don't
Kinect and
know.
it would sync
Probably.
it together? It sounds like that was a technology that existed. But
You see, what would really drive us nuts, we'd get it synced right at the beginning, and then all of a sudden, an hour and a half in, we'd realize that I'm watching the extended edition and you're watching the regular edition. We're so close.
no, I have the extended edition, two CDs, so or DVDs or whatever they
Nice.
are.
Me too.
So we'll be synced up on that. It'd be good.
Nice. This was kind of an interesting one this week. Kind of moving away from
Make it
the
happen. I
iPhones.
feel like we've talked more than enough about that.
Yeah, last 2 weeks has been ridiculous. So Facebook, let's bring it back
Yeah.
to the Facebook. They want you to snitch on your friends. They've started this new program, and nobody really talked about it, but I'm sure it has to do with the fact that they're trying to figure out who's a bot and who's not. Because there's this thing of,
Just
one
create a
of the big
website,
policies.
bot or not.
I know.
I think it could work.
One of their policies, and this has been true for a while, is that you have to use your real name.
Yeah.
So they've started this pop-up, and I don't know exactly when it happens while you're logged in, but they'll actually pop up people that they suspect don't have a real name to people on their friends list, and they ask, is this person's real name? And they have like, yes, no, I don't know, and what was the other one? I refuse to answer. And they're like, it's totally anonymous, but we just want to know. We just want to know. We're curious. It's part of our policy. And every
So, what were we talking about again?
So we were talking about something really interesting and enthralling, and everybody was paying attention. So now I have to figure out what we're talking about. Oh,
Something about
Facebook.
Facebook
Yeah. So basically, what they want is they want to clean up their network. They want to figure out who's who and who's real. And thankfully, and it brings up an interesting point, because it's like, we talk about the fact that we use our real names and stuff on this show, but that's not super common amongst guys who do media and stuff. I guess it's more common on on, you know, it's more common. But I guess their argument would be you just need to go like to super private browsers and stuff. But there are a lot of people that you know legitimately need to use, I feel like they need to use pseudonyms online. And they'd like to have a Facebook presence, but they don't, you know, a personal Facebook presence, but they can't use their quote unquote real name. And I could imagine how, you know, if we got to the point where we had 1 million listeners and we did, you know, a super national show, how it would become, yeah, you almost create a second identity and you have that second
No, you just
identity
use the
be.
subscribers feature. Done. Problem solved.
But I mean, online in general, but I guess, you know, and I don't know, it's an interesting, you know, privacy issue. Because I don't know how I feel about my friends snitching on me, whether it's my real name or not. Like, yeah, my name's my real name, but I don't know. I don't, what if it weren't? That would make me feel very uncomfortable. And you know that they correlate all that data. Even though your personal information is not, you know, technically you're like, you know, they say that, yeah, it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you know, it's anonymous, but it's only anonymous to the person you're snitching on. It's not anonymous to their servers. And so they're going to keep a log. If you're the kind of person that doesn't want to snitch on your friends, they're going to keep a log of that information. They're going to know whether or not you decline to
Interesting.
state if you know or not. You know, which is, I don't know what you would do with that information, but the fact that they have it and the fact that they're, you know, they're building a better map of who you are and what you are and everything. And I guess what's interesting is it's like it's one of the first times where it's clearly like it's not just Facebook trying to, you know, get. It no longer requires participation on the part of the user to give up their information, to give up their privacy. And I guess what makes a difference different for me is it's like, I don't know, when it's always when you've always had the choice, when it's always been your prerogative whether or not you want that person, you know, you want your friends or you want Facebook to know, you know, yeah. But at the same time, from a security perspective, it's the ability to lie about who you are and get away with it that allows the spam bots and allow, you know, fake likes and then, and, you know, ruin their algorithms. So it's not like they can't do, there's, it's not like they, you know, where's the balance? They have to do something because their entire business model relies on a legitimate user base. But
Well,
at
and
the
this is
same
a
time,
classic Facebook solution too. We have a bot problem, and so we're going to rely on friends and community to help us spot them. You know, we're not going to create
right.
some fancy algorithm to calculate it out and, you know, and solve it. We're just gonna, I don't know, you think just add a spam filter feature, but maybe people don't use it or something.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd think, well, and I got to imagine that there's some deeper issue because if it were just, you know, fixing a bot problem, they would, like you said, they would do something that they would ask, is this person a bot or not? Not, is this person's real name? You know, they're trying to go deeper than just that. I have a feeling that that's just their justification for it. You know, is that you know, or rather, that's what I read their justification is for it. But I have a feeling that it's, you know, obviously it's a deeper question of we want to know who this person actually is because we can better target ads to them. You know,
Right.
if they're lying to us about this, what else are they lying? You know. You know, what happens if it gets to the point where people are going, is this person really living at this address? You know, and because they want to know if you've moved cities and have neglected to update that, or is this their real phone number? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, it kind of creeps me out, and it's an interesting, oh, it's an interesting security question. Well, how do you feel about it?
I use my real name, so I don't care.
Yeah, but what if you weren't?
What if I wasn't? I don't know. I guess it depends on what they do with the information. Yeah, you can ask my friends, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely weird. I think it's weird that friends are allowed to tag me in photos and video. And I don't have to. I don't know. Maybe there's a setting in there when I can explicitly say, you know, I have to approve of it first. But I don't know. Facebook fundamentally believes that it's a better world where everyone knows who you are and everything that you're doing. And, you know, and so they're going to push the envelope towards that. I don't know. I probably won't. If it's a bot or something, I'm all over it. I'll be like, yeah, this thing's totally fake. I wouldn't friend them either. And, you know, but if it's a friend and they're, you know, using a different name or something, I mean, dude, I don't know. I probably wouldn't snitch on them. Just refresh the browser, move on.
I guess it depends on which friends they're asking about.
Awesome. This guy's a jerk. Totally fake name, trust me. Investigate.
Yeah, there are a couple that I think I did enjoy having, you know, having their feathers ruffled. Guys that I really like, I just think it'd be really funny.
Yeah, if it ever asked me about you, I'm totally going to be like, this is fake.
Flag him as spam. I'm looking at you. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is definitely not his name. I don't know.
Spelled with a C, not with a K. Come on. Everyone knows that.
Messed up.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah.
You know, another thing that Facebook is up to, and we totally called it, they're starting to test mobile ads on third-party apps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're starting to build out their ad network now. Awesome.
So they are running ads through third-party applications. So there's no ads in their app, but they are running the ad network for other apps?
Well, what it sounds like, it's actually a little bit different. They are feeding information to other ad networks.
Oh.
Yeah. So if the app asks for your Facebook information and runs ads, then the app can share, you know, the Facebook information with the ad network, who then can tap in the Facebook to learn about your preferences and, you know, interests and... Yeah, and so, and I'm guessing, I mean, Facebook has to be getting a piece of that pie, right?
I was going to say, that's actually a super clever way to go about it. So they continue to keep their app ad-free, but every other app that uses ads, they're now going to get a piece of that pie because it's using Facebook data.
And they don't have to manage an ad network. They don't have to, you know, the code and... the vendors and all that, they let everyone else handle that. They literally just manage your interests and like, and, you know, create an API that they can quickly access.
That's clever. That is a clever way to do that. If that's what they're doing, I'm impressed. I didn't think about that.
Cause we had talked about that. They had to eventually build that. And, so they are.
Yeah. Well, I had always just assumed...
Because they need to, because they're not making any money on mobile right now. And this is how they're going to do it.
I had always assumed that they would eventually turn on apps or ads for their mobile app, which I know they don't like. So this is a nice way to kind of balance that, you know, put those two together.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty clever.
It'll be interesting to see, like right now it's doing your interests, I guess. And it probably won't do it for me because I think I selected that in my privacy to be like, no, don't share my data with other people unless I explicitly say yes. Or how did I? I don't remember. Yeah, they probably are doing it. And I don't. But I could see eventually, you know, some third-party ad where and it's like, dude, your brother Matthew likes this app. You might too. Like, oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're starting to do it. Let's see. They'll make some money. Buy their stock now. It's dirt cheap. It's going to go up.
Cool. I'm excited. I like to see that kind of movement. So, you pay any attention to RIM this week?
Yeah. I heard they had a little bit of a hiccup again.
The drums have started beating again, which gets me all excited. Two big things, actually. Number one, so BlackBerry RIM had a big outage of their BlackBerry network across all of Europe, Middle East, and Africa, which always makes them wonder, why am I with this system if I can't trust it, if it's not reliable? So that's kind of a big deal, and it doesn't, it, you know, right at like the worst possible time to have, you know, have any hiccups. They're having big, you know, outages. But the other one that I wanted to talk about, because I thought this is even more of a problem for them, is there's a big article that a bunch of IT leaders, CIOs, guys that run this, they're basically saying from a security perspective, for 95% of big businesses, your big banks and governments and whatnot, iPhone's just as secure as a BlackBerry. So they're basically saying there is no longer any security advantage, which has literally been the only thing the RIM has had going for it since the iPhone launched, is that we're more secure. And now that's gone. They go from VPN access to super level encryption to all sorts of, you know, cool, crazy things that they do to, you know, being able to find the phone, wipe the phone. Yeah, they're fine. It doesn't matter. You can use either one for, you know, for basically any bank, you know, with the exception of, you know, ultra security stuff, and they didn't even get into what kind of things that was. But it's, you know, you're not at the point where 99% of business people can use the iPhone with the knowledge that it's just as secure as a BlackBerry. It's just really bad news for BlackBerry, for RIM. It's like, that's that, you
Awesome.
know, having a big outage catches headlines because it affects so many people. But the truth is it's like,
Well, all the
why,
IT
you know.
professionals are watching that other news, you know, the people who are buying or hundreds of phones and approving phones for their, you know, for their companies. That's a big deal.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, it's like, I, you know, we said this year, and there's still time. There's still plenty of time, for this company to go belly up.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll go belly up, but just because they're not that they're holding on, it's just they're falling slow, I guess.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't mind seeing them get bought out by the end of the year. That'd be cool. But
Yeah. Well, we might be getting into the weirdness of Q4 where it's, you know, nobody's going to make a big acquisition unless something huge happens. People are going to try to see, they're going to want to get through Christmas to see how they do through Christmas. Unless they expect to not sell a single phone, which will only drive their stock down. But if they expect anything like anybody else expects, where people will buy BlackBerries over, you know, Christmas, that could help bolster, you
who would
know,
buy a
a
BlackBerry
lackluster.
even over Christmas?
I don't know, man, dude. I one of the
Because once
guys who
again,
did the tough.
they're making the you know, the enterprise play. They don't buy BlackBerries over Christmas.
I know.
That's a
I don't
consumer
know.
event.
Yeah, but I still think, I don't know. I'm trying to think of any reason why they wouldn't do it this year. They're crazy.
They're
Who are we
just
talking about?
crazy.
We're gonna say it's not like we're talking about a world, you know, we're not talking about a company here who's made 100 right decisions in a row, and we're trying to figure out what the best next smart decision is. You know, they're not exactly on top of their game right now. It's entirely possible they're just making dumb, crazy decisions, flailing, trying everything they can not to lose everything and get sued for, you know, ruining their company. You know, I feel like at this point there's not, you can't assign a whole lot of rational thinking to what's going on at RIM, which is very exciting. I like it a lot. I enjoy it. I feel bad for the employees that are gonna lose their jobs, but
They're Canadian, they'll get over it.
they're socialized medicine.
Oh man, we were just trying to get in trouble, aren't we?
Well, you know, you gotta use it. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, that's good times. Good times, BlackBerry. Nice job this week. but oh.
So
What
what's
do I
the
want to talk
Star
about?
Trek story?
Oh, this is totally, this is something that's been, it's an update to a story that came out a while ago. Do you know, so Star Trek, you know, they go super fast in Star Trek, right?
I yes.
And they call it the warp drive. Well, what's kind of weird about it is they back in the day, they opened this premise of what they would do is they would compress space in front of the spaceship, and they would expand space behind the spaceship. They don't get into how they would do that outside of their use their big core thing. But by doing that, by compressing it in front of them and stretching it behind them, they'd basically be moving the normal space that they exist in forward, like a bubble. And there's no physical rules that say you can't do that faster than the speed of light. And so they're basically saying the ship stays still, and they kind of go into this like wormhole type thing. It's sort of hard to understand, so if you're not wrapping your head around this one, that's okay. But it's kind of like an accordion through space. And basically, what happened was they talked about it like a couple of years ago, and they were like, you know, legitimately, there's no physics that says we can't do that. So some dude sat down and calculate what that would require from an energy perspective. It was like we would need enough energy to like have Jupiter. It'd be crazy. It just would be. It would be insane. You know. Yeah. Theoretically, it's possible, but that just couldn't happen. Well, some physicist decided to sit down and get a little more into it, and he basically said, you know, if we're smart about how we design the actual ship and how we, you know,
Yeah.
how we build everything, once we have this exotic matter, whatever that is, that allows us to bend space and time, it actually wouldn't take that much energy. Like, take the amount, I can't remember exactly how much they said it was, but it basically said it's like in the realm of possibilities. Like, yeah, we could actually imagine engineering this.
And you would move
And so now
fast doing this?
you could move fast, theoretically, faster than the speed of light.
Speed of time. That'd be cool.
Oh man. Yeah, so they're like yeah, so
So,
they're pretty excited
like,
about
how
that,
close are we
obviously.
to this?
Oh, jeez, like hundreds of years.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Basically, right now the laboratory tests are they're trying to find physical examples of this actually happening, of this warp of space and time happening in nature, as sort of a fundamental proof to move forward to try to figure out how to do that actively as opposed to just observing it in the universe. And you know, which is a big, you figure that out, that's a big first step. But I don't know, state of the world as it is, I have a feeling even if we figured out, hey, we could travel to Mars in 3 seconds, everybody'd be like, so it'd just be really disappointing. And it would never get funding, but you know,
Well, if I could travel to New York in 3 seconds, I'd be all over that.
that's a good point. But we are, the exciting part is, James, we are setting the foundations for our, you know, great 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 great
Well, what we
great
really need to
grandchildren
do is
spacefaring.
we need to do a proof of concept and run the test so that an advanced alien race will see it and come to Earth and just jumpstart the program and help us out with their technology. That's what we need to do.
That's only going to happen if a very far future version of ourselves shows up and helps us design the system
Yes. So that's how
so
we'll
that we can
know.
run into the aliens so that the aliens can jumpstart our space program.
Got it.
It's a little more complicated. I
Yeah.
think it'll happen though. I
But
feel
that'll really
good.
only happen after we gotta hit some sort of massive dystopia future, don't we? First?
Yeah, I
If
think
I
so.
remember correctly.
Yeah. But
Yeah, well,
then
maybe we're there and we just don't
we
even
could
know
like
it.
replicate us. I
We're
know.
just we're
It's
maybe we're so used to it 'cause we're in it that we don't realize how bad it really is.
deep, man.
Oh
Yin
yeah.
yang stuff right there.
Let's get back to tech.
Yeah, seriously.
So, one of the features I didn't talk about, because I don't get it, is FaceTime over 3G.
Now, you say you don't get it like is you don't understand it, or you literally don't get
I
it.
do not get to take advantage of said feature
Oh, bummer.
because AT&T's dumb, and
Yeah.
they're only going to give it to people who use their data bucket plans as opposed to their standard better plans like I currently have.
Yeah.
So I can't use FaceTime over 3G, but if I had these, data bucket plans, then I could, which would be awesome because I would go to cool places and then FaceTime you and go nanny nanny. But I can't because I'm on AT&T on a standard plan. Thankfully, other people agree with me that it's dumb and they're going to try to sue AT&T with net neutrality complaints and,
Yeah, and it might actually work because Verizon is taking, well, everybody else is taking the opposite
the
stance.
higher road, the
So,
correct
yeah,
road, not being
which is what we
dumb.
talked about, and
Well, did you also
AT&T
hear
being,
what one of the things that Verizon's done?
yeah.
Oh yeah, I think you did link to it. This idea of not the unlimited, but one of the unsaid things is that if you want to get an iPhone 5, you're required to move over to one of their new data plans.
Oh, really? I
Yeah.
didn't hear that.
Yeah, so they're kind of like, "Yeah, we don't care 'cause eventually you'll come over."
Right. Interesting.
So, yeah, which I'm kind of like, "Wow, they don't do the grandfather thing? That's weird." But maybe they've never done the grandfather thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't actually. Yeah, having never been on Verizon, that'd be something worth looking into. See where they're on
They're all
that.
slime balls and we're forced to
Yeah.
deal with them. But whatever. I'll pay
Yeah.
them happily.
One of the things that kind of floated up, there are a couple of articles about it, as you set out. During one of the financial things this week, Verizon, the CFO, the chief financial officer, claimed that unlimited is just a word and doesn't really mean anything. And people were like freaking out about the fact that, oh my gosh, how out of touch are they? They're just stupid. And I agreed. Like, I was totally on it. Like, this, obviously, this is just them being awful human beings. And then today I decided, it'd be interesting to see what he actually said. So I did a little bit digging and I found the transcript from the meeting, and this is the quote. I have to read this for you.
Okay.
This is the CFO speaking. So what customers are understanding and through our good sales routine is once you explain to a customer their usage on a monthly basis, unlimited is just a word. It doesn't really mean anything, and that people don't really. I think a lot of consumers think they consume a lot more data than they really do. So the whole thing, so the whole unlimited thing, I think, is going by the wayside, and they see the benefit of going to the shared. So basically, what he was saying, and I wanted to bring this up because people who, quote the echo chamber, drive me nuts, is basically to people who don't use very much data, unlimited doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't, because if you don't use the minimum or the maximum amount of data, it doesn't make any difference what data plan you're on. And what he was basically saying is once you explain that to people, look, you don't use very much data. You don't use more data than our shared data plan would allow you to. When you tell someone that, yeah, unlimited just becomes, it is equivalent to, and this is true, to the data plan. If you use, unlimited only matters if you actually go over the shared data plan. And since most people that they're selling this to don't, unlimited is just a word to them. It just sounds cool, but it doesn't give them any practical advantage, because in reality they don't use that much data.
Well, I know in my personal experiences, I started out with the unlimited data plan, and I was paying $30 a month for that privilege with
Yeah.
AT&T, and then I started looking at my usage statistics, and I was using somewhere between 1 and 1.5 gigs a month, and I could pay $25 for a 2 gig data plan, and I sat there and I was paying, I had whatever the minimum text messaging was. It was like 200 texts a month. And I was starting to get close to that number. And so I sat there and said, I pulled Jessie and I down, because she was even less than me. I pulled us down to the 2 gig cap, took that $10, and upgraded to the unlimited texting. So I was paying the same amount, of money, got the unlimited texting, so I didn't have to worry about my number of texts anymore, and I was still under the data, and I have yet to this day, no, there was only one time where I got close to the data cap. I didn't go over, but I got close to it, and they define close as like 60% or more of it or something like that, or 80%, whatever. You know, so I was like, totally worth it in for me to do it. Now, there is this whole thing about future usage, and if everyone's on 4G and I'm making FaceTime calls for everything, maybe that data cap becomes a little bit more important. I know that, if I were downloading movies and stuff and trying to do all that over the cell network, okay, we'd have an issue. Give me my unlimited back. But even AT&T, they're like, dude, when you go over 2 or 3 gigs or whatever it is, they're going to throttle you massively anyways. So now you're just paying an extra $5 a month to get throttled once you hit their cap.
Right.
I don't know. I totally get it, exactly what he's saying. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think they're
setting us up for 5 years from now. I still feel that way.
I think there's a problem. I do think that we're being – yeah, I don't think that this is a good – you know, I don't think that the attitude that they're taking is helpful long-term to the consumer. But this big deal that everybody made about him saying unlimited is just a word. It doesn't really mean anything. In context, I sit there and I go, no, I think he was completely accurate. He was saying it from the perspective of a person in their current use. And somebody read that and realized it would make a good headline. They didn't give the whole quote. They gave chunks of the quote.
Right.
And they wrote an article, and then it got repeated and, you know, reworded, and nobody ever went back to the original document to ask, what was he actually trying to say? Because it's sort of an incredulous thing. What was his intent? And I don't think his intent in these actual words were had any malice outside of the known long-term plan to get people off of unlimited plans and capped plans. But we'll see.
But yeah, because if think about it, you know, if unlimited they're charging you more, why would you want to get people off that? You're earning more money for the same usage unless you know what's coming down the line. And you're like,
right.
I mean, that's the only reason why you're not. I have learned that AT&T and Verizon are not friends of consumers. That is not the way that they work. They are not out there to try to save us money. That's not their goal in life. I have learned that, and you know, whatever. So anytime they suggest something, I go, I don't know if I want to do that. But I don't know. Maybe the sales staff, you know, they don't care. Maybe they're a little better about it. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so. You know, no offense, but.
Yeah, no, I would believe you. So you did something this weekend. What was that about?
So, I got a little bit tough, a little bit muddy. I did a tough mudder.
What is that?
You know, so the tough mudder is it's this event that was started a couple years back. I don't even know when, how old it is, but it was started by a couple of ex-British Special Force dudes. Basically, you wanted to create an incredibly tough event for people to do. And this one was Tahoe 2012, Northern California. And we drove up to Tahoe. And it was driving back from Tahoe that I suddenly realized that the Chevy Tahoe is named after that mountain. I don't know why. Had never clicked before. But it was like a dawning of like, wow, that I feel stupid. Like, people all around the world drive Chevy Tahoes and they probably get it, and because I grew up here, it's like never clicked it. Oh yeah, that's what it's named after. Anyways. But yeah, so it was a little over 11 mile course. Started towards the base of
11 miles. That's kind of random. Is that just
You
think they'd go like 13.1, you know, make it a half, but maybe they don't want to mix it up with that. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, because this is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is it's a course that is it's spotted with obstacles and up, you know, like about 20, depending on weather conditions and stuff. There's more or less. And it went from the base of North Star all the way up to the summit of North Star and then back down.
Awesome. That sounds hard just all on its own.
Yeah. It was really, really, really hard. And I'm not a particularly fit dude. I've been working on it, trying to get in shape and whatnot. And I wasn't quite where I wanted to be for this. And then they have like these 20 obstacles, and some of them are just mentally jarring. Some of them are physically really difficult. But they had stuff like they have like they call it the Kiss of Mud, where like you have it's like barbed wire, and you have to like get down on your stomach
Oh,
and crawl under
you see that in
barbed
movies.
wire through the mud. Yeah, they had
How'd that go?
they
Did you get
had
like
one.
scratches all over your back and you're all bloody because of it?
No, I'm actually surprisingly unmarred by the whole event. But they had like logs and stuff that you had to like you could climb over and jump under, and they had an ice bath, which is basically like this 15-foot long bath that went up to your chest
Oh
of ice
man.
water. And the worst part is right through the middle of the bath there's like this wooden thing that goes down like 2 feet into the water. So you jump into the water, your legs go instantly numb, you walk forward a couple feet, and there's this
Then you
wall in your way.
trip.
You have to go under the wall. No,
What?
it's from on top and is under it goes yeah, so you
Oh
have to
my
go under the
gosh.
wall, and then you come up to the other side and you have to crawl back out, and I nearly died. I nearly
That
died at
sounds
like probably
horrible.
oh, it was awful. It was super awful. They had like monkey bars. They had a monkey bar thing where it's 14 monkey bars, but it's at like a 30-degree incline up. So you have to go
Oh
up
my
and then
gosh.
come back down over a water pit. They
What
had
happens if
like
you fall?
it's into a water pit and you have to climb out.
Do you have to like keep
Most people
trying, or do you just like okay?
no, you just go. Once you get done, some people go back around and try again, but most people you fall and you go on. They had one where it was like a it's a wall and it's got 2x4s nailed up high and some down low, and you're like you get on you like snug up against the wall, so you're like your
Oh
feet are on
yeah,
the
you don't have
bottom
a lot of
2x4,
room.
and yeah, and you just have to inch across, and what's awful is it like narrows down as you go till it's
Oh.
like a 1x2 and almost everybody falls in.
That's amazing. How many people did this?
It's like 10,000. It was crazy. It was
Oh my word. So
unbelievable.
like were there
Huge.
times where you like you had to wait in line 'cause
Yeah, there was actually quite a few times. They called it a Berlin Wall. It's basically a straight up and down wall that you have to climb over.
of course.
And the 10-foot one,
Do they give you a
I
rope
skipped
like in
it.
the movies or are you just kind of
Nope. You've got the
All
people
right.
behind you to push you up and your
Oh, that's awesome.
upper body strength. Yeah. And so the 10-foot wall, yeah, so the 10-foot wall, I didn't even do the 10-foot wall one. It was like a half an hour wait.
Wow.
They had, but they, so those were like your more physically grueling ones. And they had some where they had one that's called the Electric Eel. And this one was awful because you had to walk up this mountainside, and it's like the last climb, and it's like you probably move
Which you're
100
like you're
yards.
halfway through at this point, right? If you're
You're
going up the
coming up to the
mountain.
halfway point. You're
Okay.
coming up to the halfway point. And you've already climbed like 1,000, 1,500 feet. And in the next 2,000 feet forward, you're going to climb another 1,000 feet.
Wow.
It's unbelievably steep. And the worst part is you like you go up, it's like you can see like 100 feet in front of you, and you're like, oh, I can see the crest, I can see the top. And as you're like 10 feet from that crest, you realize all of a sudden you see another 100 feet of people and another crest. And so you get to that one. And when you finally get to that one, all of a sudden you see 2 8-foot-tall Berlin walls that everybody's clamoring over these Berlin walls. You get past that, there's another climb, the same, like 100 yards. And you get up that, and you can see the crest. And finally, as you get to that crest, you can see the top of a radio antenna. And that's the only sign that you're finally coming up to the summit, because they put the radio antenna at the tallest point of the mountain. You finally get, oh my gosh, it's grueling.
Wow.
Everybody is just dead. They want to, oh, it's so horrible. You finally get to the summit, you start to catch your breath, and you look at the next obstacle. And it's called the Electric Eel. And it is a pool of water about a foot deep. And it's got a cage overhanging of it, and hanging down are a bunch of wires that are hanging there. And there's about 6 inches between the water and the wires. The water acts as an anode. The wires act as your cathode.
What?
And it pulses 10,000 volts every 3 seconds
Is that a lot?
through this whole th Yeah, it's like a taser.
Okay.
So you jump into the water, you slide into the water, and you have to crawl under these cathodes. The thing is like nobody's small enough to actually never touch the cathodes,
Oh my
even if you're
gosh.
like on your hands and knees. And
Well, 'cause you
so
gotta
what you
breathe,
have
'cause there's water.
And so what the goal is like to not be touching the cathode when it goes off,
Do you
but you
know
like
like when it's gonna go off, or are you just, you
nope,
know?
it's not entirely regular, and it's like
Okay.
every 3 seconds. So it's like, and the worst part about it is when it fires through you and into the water. And so everybody around you gets a little
Oh
bit of a jolt
man.
too. So it was amazing to watch some of the guys get like hit a couple times by one of their friends and thinking, oh man, that's not so bad. So they get a little more careless, like right as they're getting out, and
No.
watch them just get hit 5 times as they're crawling out. And there's just like their entire backs are spasming and their arms are jerking. I saw one, or I didn't see him, but
Oh my word.
some of my friends who were up ahead of me watched a guy yank his shoulder out of his arm socket because he was, you know,
What?
because he was flexing as the electricity hit his arm, and it just, you know, he had the front muscles and the back muscles firing at the same time, and they pulled his arm socket out. Oh
Oh
my
my
gosh.
word.
And
So do people
oh, it
get
was,
hurt? Like, you know.
yes,
Okay.
you sign a death waiver when you get on this thing. I mean,
Awesome.
it's nuts. And they've got guys in ATVs driving up and down the hill all day taking people.
And I'm sure
They have
that like
heat
they're full.
blankets.
They're not just like
You know what?
interesting.
It was surprisingly there were surprisingly few injuries, to be totally
I
honest.
mean, you're
For
not just gonna
10.
be, you have to know what you're getting into, right? You're not just like,
Right.
hey, what's this
The,
about?
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I you know, I'm yeah, it this is people are ready for this.
As
And
well
you
as they
know,
can be.
and yeah, exactly. You know, and sometimes accidents happen, especially like on the Berlin Wall, people would, you know, the really tall one, people would drop and hit the ground. You know, and sometimes
Awesome.
you do damage, but for the what?
It's just, yeah, sometimes people drop, you know. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but for the most part, everybody was, you know, everybody did fairly well. You know, it's the fatigue that really gets to you in the
So
long
what time
run.
did you start and stop? Like, how long did it take you?
It took me like 6 hours. We started about 10:40 and got done a little before 5.
Okay. That's a long time.
And you know, yeah, it was a really long time to be trudging. I actually ended up skipping quite a few of the obstacles just because physically where I'm at, like I wasn't actually sure I could finish if I did some of them. You know, just because even though I knew I could get through them, I would have been it just would have taken me so much energy to get down on my knees, crawl through whatever we had to crawl through, and pop back out the other side, that I was just like, I don't need to do this. I don't.
So
I'm
you
not.
could,
I'm
if
not
you
in the.
wanted to, skip them.
Yes. That was one of the big things. They were like, anything you're not sure about, just skip it. Don't
Okay. You don't have to be a
kill
hero.
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the big. You know, it was actually pretty cool because one of their big things was like, finishing that long of a walk or run or whatever is in and of itself a
Oh,
really impressive
yeah. Up
feat.
and down a hill like that?
You
That's
know.
crazy.
Yeah, and so they're like they're the one of the big things, they're like, this is not a race, it's a challenge. You know, teamwork comes first. It's all about camaraderie and help out your fellow mutters. You're like, you know, you're all in this together. And then you get done and you get one of this. I if you're watching the video, I've been wearing a cool orange headband
I
all
did see
day. It says
that.
Tough Mudder on it. And it's cool because I had to drive from Tahoe back to the Bay Area through Sacramento, which is awful. I hate you, Sacramento, so much. But while we're stopped traffic on a Sunday afternoon, which doesn't make any sense to me at all, you would slowly pass people or be passed by people that also had orange headbands, and they'd honk you hard, and you'd be like,
That's cool.
ah, yeah, you know, and you know, because it's just a, you know, it's a
How many guys did
blaring.
you go with?
My group was there was, duh, 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 I think there was 10 of us, 10, 11 of us, and we actually had different start times, so we ended up like
Huh.
almost all of us starting and ending at different times, and you know, it's kind of weird, but But it was cool because I was just at a different point than a lot of them. And I'm looking forward to gearing up to do it again next year.
That's cool. So is that a headband or like a cap?
It's a sweatband.
Okay.
So.
I didn't see any hair. That's why I was.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I shaved my head. I bicked it Friday evening.
Nice. Well,
And
let me see it without the headband on. Just give us a
all
nice
right, one
little.
second.
Oh man, there he is.
I left the beard because I like to look. I thought that would look cool and a little skinheadish.
Nice, nice, cool. I did not do anything nearly as exciting, but that's okay. That's cool. Thanks for sharing. That was neat, everyone. Thanks for listening. Even though that was not really tech related, it was related to awesome. So we're gonna talk about it. So there it is. So again, thanks everyone for joining us. Sorry for some of the technical glitches. For those of you listening, you'll have no clue what I'm talking about. Later on. So, my name is James Furlow. My brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time. Modern Family wins best Emmy, or no, they win an Emmy for best comedy series.
Nice.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
I'll just keep those going throughout the show for you.
Yeah,
Since
don't do that. You're gonna ruin it for
clearly
somebody.
people are watching us instead of that. I don't care, actually.
Good point.
If I could figure out how to turn that off, I would. Oh, I can. Watch this. Ready?
Yeah.
I am going to go to settings. Do not disturb. On.
Oh, baby.
Done. No more distractions.
Now, do alarms work through the do not disturb function?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I can turn off the sound alerts that I have, and it would drive me crazy if. I don't
Let's
know.
see here. Set an alarm for 8:05.
Perfect.
I'll let you know in 4 minutes. Thank you, Siri.
So you let me know in 1 hour and 12 minutes, or in 4 minutes, or 12 hours and 4 minutes? Oh,
switch
shoot.
that to PM. All right. Do not disturb is on still. That sh and here I'll even put that on silent, so we'll find out.
Cool.
On that note, let's get this started.
All right.